Luke chapter 1. We'll read verse 35 and then verses 46 through 55. I have that first verse in there just to give us a little context concerning what we are reading, but this is sometimes called the Magnificat, Mary's Magnificat. It's a beautiful piece of poetry and sometimes even sung to music. Hear then the word of the Lord. Verse 35, the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God." Then picking up again with verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever." Thus far, the reading of God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Thanks be to God. I've called this message today Mary's Carol. When the angel Gabriel told Mary of Nazareth that she was to be the mother of the Messiah, her response was one of surprise. "How can these things be?" she said. But also of faith. "I am the Lord's servant," she said. "May it be so. May it be as you've said." The scriptures show Mary to have been a thoughtful woman who pondered spiritual things. When we read later on that Mary pondered all these things in her heart, well, that wasn't the first time that she pondered. She was a spiritual person who thought through the things of the Lord as they were revealed to her, even in the more ordinary circumstances. She was familiar with God's Word to the point that she could express herself in scriptural terms. And as we'll see, this Magnificat, this poem that she utters, is full of scriptural references, actually. Now, while she was visiting her cousin, Elizabeth, she was reassured about the amazing and miraculous event of which she was a vital part. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, Mary burst into poetic praise, and she evidently said it rather than singing it. Still, we like to think of it as a song. It has a musical quality, and so we might well call her words the first Christmas carol. Now, this event that we call Christmas, the coming of the Savior, the incarnation of God, was an occasion for rejoicing. And that's one of the reasons that between the two Christmas carols that we're singing today, I put, "Rejoice, ye pure in heart." This is an occasion to rejoice. As the angel told the shepherds, an awareness of his coming means good tidings of great joy. The word carol is an old English term that means a joyous song. If you ever wonder what carol meant, why do we say Christmas carols? It means a joyous song, and it comes from a Latin word that means a choral song. And I'm not enough of a student of languages to tell you for sure, but carol and choral kind of go together do they not? And the Latin word is something like coral in the way it's written. So you can see a bit there of the origin of the idea of carol, but remember especially that it's a joyous song. Now, Mary's joyful song, Mary's carol, could be taken as a pattern for all other Christian hymns if one were looking for a pattern. Now, this doesn't mean that every Christmas carol sort of follows a strict point, but just in general terms, a carol ought to reveal who is supposed to be singing at Christmas in this joyful season. And it also shows what they ought to sing about. So I've got several things then for us to consider as we just take in this poetic song that Mary uttered when she was with her cousin Elizabeth. To begin with, let's say that not all carolers have a spiritual motivation. Would that they did. But I suppose this has been true from the time of Mary, but certainly in more recent times. We see that not everyone who's lustily and loudly singing carols really has a spiritual motivation for it. Some people are motivated by heritage or culture or beauty. Many times during the season, you'll see advertised sing-alongs or gatherings for carols. Usually there's a Messiah sing-along, meaning Handel's Messiah. And people will come and sing. It's obviously a very classical piece of music, somewhat difficult to sing, and yet people get into it and work at it. And they like the culture. They like the beauty of it. But are they really wanting to rejoice in the Savior, as Mary in the Magnificat rejoices in God, her Savior? Some are not motivated, you see, for spiritual things, but just because it's cultural and beautiful and they want to be a part of it. Be careful that that's not your reason for caroling. Also, some are motivated by sentiment. Now, sentiment, you see, has become very much a part of the Christmas celebration. I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen for sleigh bells in the snow. That's all sentiment. I'm not saying it's all bad, but it is just sentiment. We have one that Mel Torme wrote, the Christmas song, it's called, and there's a line in there that talks about carols being sung by a Yuletide choir. But you see, there's not really any spiritual interest in the carols that are sung. It's just the sentiment of it. So be careful about that too. And then there are some who are just motivated by self-interest. That is, how can this help me? I'm thinking really of the department store music that we all are used to. Somebody told me the other day they don't play it as much as they used to in the department stores, or if they do, it's all secular stuff. But it used to be that at this time of year, when you went in any department store, you just heard Christmas music carols that we're familiar with. But not because the heads of the department store wanted you to draw closer to God, but it was in their self-interest to sort of get you in the mood to go and buy things from their counters and their departments within the store. So please note that not all carolers have a spiritual motivation. Don't you be one of those who just is caught up in the culture or the sentiment or the self-interest that often goes at this time. Now, on the more positive side, carolers ought to be believers. Sometimes we sing, and I think we'll sing probably next week, "O come, all ye faithful." Faithful people, you see, are believers. Those who are singing as they ought to be singing believe God. And when you look at this song that Mary sang here, it's full of belief. It's full of faith. what the Lord said is coming to pass. Mary says, I believe that. Here I am, a pregnant woman, unmarried, and how is all this going to work out for my benefit? She said, I don't know, but I'm the Lord's bondservant. I'll belong to Him. Those who are carolers should be the blessed of the Lord. I didn't have time to put the whole passage in Luke chapter 1, but earlier the angel comes to Mary and says, Hail, favored one, chosen one. Greetings from God ought to make us rejoice like that. And God has sent no greater greeting card to us than the Lord Jesus Himself. And those who are believers have been acted upon by the Lord. He's taken the initiative. The angel said to Mary, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. God is reaching down to you, Mary, to touch you with His love and power. Those who are believers then take seriously the Word of God. And again, Christmas without the Word of God is meaningless, really. The Word of God is that which we believe and makes us then just to rest upon the Lord, trusting in Him to see us through whatever may come to us. God, in sending His Son, saying, this is my indication to you of how far I'm willing to be with you and to take care of you. Carolers ought to be believers, those in whom the Holy Spirit is dwelling. If you're a believer, then you will receive the Holy Spirit. You receive Him when you believe. That's what Paul asked the disciples of John the Baptist when they came to him at Ephesus. He said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Because that's what's supposed to happen. The Holy Spirit is dwelling with Mary and now will do something in her. He won't do this, of course, in anyone else, but it just is an indication that the Spirit who dwells in us will provide for us all that we need. That's why He's called the Comforter, the Helper, Paraclete. He gives us spiritual understanding, and He helps us to praise God as we should. And there's really no adequate way to carol without the help of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we have these wonderful hymns that were written by believers and beautiful music to go with them. But to really enter into a carol like Mary does here is to be led by the Holy Spirit, to praise God for the Lord Jesus Christ, to rejoice in what God is working in us. So that's the first thing then. To be a caroler that God respects, that God wants, you need to be a believer, to have your faith and trust in the Savior. She said, I rejoice, my spirit rejoiced in God, my Savior. All right, then carolers ought to be humble. Humble. And there's a lot of humbleness in this particular passage. Now, some of the hymns that we sing that are not here, of course, but just that we sing are very much indicators of humility, such as Gentle Mary, Later Child, Lowly in a Manger. The whole Christmas scene is one of humbleness. Christ humbled Himself and came down from heaven, but we have to humble ourselves before Him. One hymn that we sometimes sing, it may not have the best theology or the best historical accuracy always, but it's We Three Kings of Orient Are. What did those magi, they weren't really kings, but they were royalty, they were in the royal families, but they came with bearing their gifts, their expensive gifts, and they laid those gifts before Jesus and bowed themselves down to Him in humility. Carolers need to be humble. Mary called herself the bondslave of the Lord. That is one who ought herself, who thought herself to be undeserving of any honor. Behold, she said, the bondslave of the Lord. And then in verse 48 here in the passage, we see that God recognizes the humble. He's exalted those who were humble. That's in verse 52. But earlier in 48, he says the humble state of his servant. So God recognized her humble state. And you'll notice in verse 51, Mary, as she speaks, says he scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. But Mary, you see, was omitted from the scattered. That's a good thing. Mary wasn't scattered because she didn't have a proud heart. She reacted to all this as one who was very surprised that God would even think of doing anything wonderful for her. She saw herself as exalted without any real human explanation for it. It's just of the goodness of God. Furthermore, Mary believed herself to be the recipient of mercy from God. God's mercy in verse 54, in remembrance of His mercy, she says, God is a merciful God, but to whom is He merciful? And why is He merciful? Because He desires to save sinners. Who was Mary? She was a sinner. She needed a Savior. Mary didn't think of herself highly. Didn't think of herself as immaculate. She thought herself a sinner. And she says, my, what a wonderful thing that I have received the mercy of God. Remember that mercy is not for the perfect. Mercy is for the imperfect. Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? Save sinners. He came to save sinners. Carolers need to be humble. Lord, who am I? I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Then carolers ought to know the Bible. If you're going to sing carols, then know your Bible. And it's amazing how much of the Bible is in Mary's song, even though it too is a part of the Bible, but just how much other parts of the Bible figure into it. I'm thinking of another carol that we sing sometimes, Unto Us a Child is Born, or To Us a Child of Hope is Born, is the way the hymn is written sometimes. But it comes right out of Isaiah, of course. The government shall be upon his shoulders and so forth. Unto us a child is born. But in this particular carol, where it says nothing is impossible, verse 37, that's in a previous. I didn't quite get that in here. But it says nothing will be impossible for God. That comes from Genesis 18:14, where Abraham is told nothing's too hard for God. And then great things are done for me, verse 49. That comes from Psalm 126, verse 3. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Mercy on generations, as it's mentioned here, from generation to generation. That's Psalm 103:17. There it says everlasting to everlasting, but it's the same idea. You have that God fills the hungry. Comes from Psalm 107, verse 9. And I just use these examples to show you that this carol of Mary is just using the Scriptures to praise God, using the Scriptures to exalt Him. Now, it's important, you see, for carolers to know the Bible so that they express themselves correctly. There can be all kinds of incorrect representations in our hymn. The little drummer boy, where is that in the Bible? Well, you say, I like the sentiment. The little boy plays his drum for Jesus. Well, that's all well and good, but that's not in the Bible. You need to know your Bible. Be correct in your expression. And the Bible, you see, is full of God's promises, especially promises about Jesus. So when we're singing Christmas carols, we're claiming God's promises. God has sent a Savior. We're saying, yes, He's my Savior. I trust Him and believe in Him. Carols need also to be a witness to others. All those people out there who are just doing it for sentiment or for culture or for self-interest, they need to know that they're a person that needs a Savior. They need somebody to deliver them. And caroling should be a witness to other people, too. Well, finally, carolers ought to glorify God. Carolers ought to glorify God. What a great hymn we have. Angels we have heard on high. And Gloria, Gloria, in excelsis Deo. carolers really ought to glorify God. And those angels who spoke to the shepherds, you might say theirs is the second Christmas carol after Mary. They said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Carolers ought to glorify God. Glorify Him for His might. Again, verse 49, "The Mighty One has done great things for me." His might brought Christ into the world. What but the might and power of God could produce a virgin birth? His might saved Mary. She needed a Savior. We ought to praise God for His holiness. Holiness describes His being. This is who God is. And verse 49, right at the end, says, "Holy is His name." Holiness describes His purpose. He came to make us holy, as another hymn says. Came to make us good. Then we need to praise God for His mercy. In verse 50, "His mercy is upon generation after generation." At the end of 54, "In remembrance of His mercy." Praise God for His mercy. Good Christian men, rejoice because God is merciful. Praise God for His justice. Usually the humble are people who have been beaten down, people who have been taken advantage of, people who have not gotten justice. Christ comes to be the King who strikes with a rod of iron and brings justice and brings right and puts all that's wrong away. Christ comes to remove the proud, to scatter them, the Bible says, and to replace that with His personal, attentive rule. And finally, He comes in faithfulness, and we should praise God for His faithfulness. He made all these promises of old. Now He has finished, at least in terms of Christ's coming. He has brought about that salvation. God remembers His people and His promises. And God helps His people. Beginning with Abraham, He has continued on to help His people. Even the seed of Abraham, and even those who are the spiritual children of Abraham through faith in the Lord. So carolers ought to glorify God. If you're not singing these carols that you sing to glorify God, then you missed the boat. You don't know what you're doing. Carolers really are given this position and this means of glorifying God. And that's what happened with Mary, you see. She went to see Elizabeth. Elizabeth said, "What a wonderful blessing. The mother of my Lord has come to see me. The baby in my womb leapt when you began to speak." And then Mary just burst forth to give God the glory, give God the praise. She has a Savior. She knows the Scriptures. She's a humble woman. She wants God to be praised. And that's why she sang. And I hope that's why you sing also. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful for all Christmas carols that are true to Your Word, and that point us to the Lord Jesus Christ and enable us to glorify God. Help us to really have a wonderful Christmas full of singing and joy and praise. But may we be the right kind of carolers. And may we do so, Lord, from our very hearts, because You've changed those hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.